Well, good morning, folks. It is so great to be with you today.
Don't you love this guy?
Come on now.
Just reach your hands out to Pastor Steve. We just want to pray. We just want to bless him. Lord, we just thank you for this man of God, for this leader that you brought for such a time as this to this local body. And we bless him. We thank you for him. We ask that now as he brings this word that you've laid on his heart, that you've been ruminating within him, that you've been working in him, Lord, that he would have clarity of mind, clarity of speech, that he would that you would cause him to effectively communicate the message that you've given him, and Lord, that it would find a place to land on our hearts, and that it would be planted in good ground, and that it would spring up and bear much fruit for your kingdom, Lord, that you would receive honor and glory. We just bless this time, and we thank you for what you're about to accomplish in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
His presence and his kingdom over our preference and comfort. So we're going to start this morning with being honest. And you're all looking at me like, what? We're always honest in church. Okay, well, let me talk about that for just a moment. So if we're struggling with something and we come in Sunday morning and somebody says, so how are you today? You realize that we pause and think about, do I really want to say? Because we have this false idea that if we're Christians, we don't ever struggle. And so if we somehow admit that we're having struggles, then people are going to think we're weak Christians. Nobody else thinks that. Okay, you're all looking at me like, what are you talking about? So, because I've shared with you sometimes when I was weak and needed his strength. Sometimes that I was broken and needed his healing. We all have times like that. So it's okay to be honest and say, yes, I'm struggling. The other thing we do is if we're really doing well, but we know some other people are struggling, when they say, how are you? We almost hate to say, I'm doing really well. Because you don't want to make them feel bad that they're not doing really well. So that's why I said we're going to be honest this morning. The other thing that happens with us is that we tend to be either pessimistic or optimistic. You know, the cup is half full or half empty, and it's actually at the same level. So sometimes if we're doing well in four areas of our life, but we're struggling in one, if we tend to be pessimistic and somebody says, hey, how are you this morning? We look at that one that we're not doing really well, and we're saying, oh, I'm really struggling and having a rough time. Okay? If we're optimistic, we may have struggles in three areas of our life, but two of them are pretty good. So when someone says, hey, how are you this morning? We think, oh, well, those three are really bad, but I have two really good ones. And you say, I'm doing really well, right? So that influences how we answer this question. Now, we all should be doing just a little bit better this week than last week. Why? Because we were supposed to have had a whole week where we think about the things that we're thankful for. And you know that's all relative. Because when I've been in other countries, I've seen, and some of you that have been to Harrisburg or a big city, you've seen people that don't have a home. You've seen people that don't have jobs. I've seen people who had no food. No food. Wasn't that they had to eat macaroni and cheese three times a week. No food. Okay? We all, I'm pretty sure, we all live in a house that has some heat. We all had something for breakfast. We all got in a car, and we all drove here this morning. So that already makes us way above like 40% of the world, just living here in the U.S. and not being homeless. So now having said all that, we're going to try to be honest, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions, because today we're going to be talking about the happies. The happies. And so to get there, we have to sort of decide, well, where am I at right now? Now, us men, we only have yes or no. We only have either I'm okay or I'm not okay. You know, when I start throwing out feeling words, we go like, what is that? So men, I'm stretching you a little today, okay? So actually try to think about what the words possibly could mean, all right? Now, the ladies, they all probably already know whether they're feeling these things or not. So I'll give the men just a little bit longer to respond. If you're feeling this way this morning, just put your hand up and back down, okay? This morning, right now, are you feeling thankful? Okay, you don't have to, yep, there you go. All right, hey, so some guys actually knew that? All right, comfortable, if you're feeling comfortable. Okay, confident. Now remember, we're being honest, so it's okay to say if you are, but you don't have to say you are if you're not. Okay, cheerful. Peaceful. Glad about something. Impulsive. She lives impulsive. She lives there. Optimistic. Okay. Loved. Just a couple more. Sad. You can be honest. You can be honest. Concerned. Okay. Interested. Contented. Paul says, in all circumstances, I've learned to be contented. You know, you have to learn that one. Okay? Last two. Happy? Blessed. Now see, we all want to raise our hands for blessed because Christians are supposed to be blessed. Well, I'm going to tell you what blessed means here in just a moment. All right, so we're continuing our series, and we're doing the happies today in Matthew chapter 5. Remember I said in this series we're going to go through different parts of Matthew, not chapter by chapter, but we're going to look where Jesus teaches about his presence and his kingdom being over our preference and his comfort. Okay? You ready? Come on now, you ready? Sermons are supposed to take you on a little bit of a journey so that you're different when you leave than when you came in. Okay? Sometimes they take you pretty far. Sometimes it's only a short distance. But either way, it's significant because it's what we as pastors feel that God is giving us to share with you. All right. So there you'll see in verse 1 that Jesus said that his disciples came to him. So in the very first verse, we get our first challenge. They came to him. That takes a decision. Why? Because there's so many other things that we could choose to do other than come to him. So many other things we could choose than to come to him. We could choose to take a nap. We could choose to watch a TV show. We could choose a recreational activity. We could choose a video game. We could choose to eat and chat. Okay, I'm not saying any of those are bad, but somewhere in there, you have to choose to come to Jesus. If you want to learn from him, if you want to become more like him, if you want to see how he does things, if you want to hear what he's saying, you have to choose to lay something down to come to him. His presence and his kingdom over your preference and your comfort. So his disciples came to him, and Jesus starts out by talking with them about some things that are very, very challenging. I have no idea how many times throughout the years that I have read through these. I still don't quite get them, because his kingdom is so different than the way I normally think. It's not logical, and I'm very logical. It has to make sense to me. So I'm telling you already, some of this just takes faith. Some of this, you just have to believe it because Jesus said it. So he started out by saying, blessed are the poor. Okay, right there I stop. Really? How does that work? The Amplified tells us what blessed means. Spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired. In other words, if you are this, people are going to look at you and say, boy, I wished I had that. So remember how quickly we all wanted to say we were blessed? Well, it actually means that we're happy, spiritually prosperous, and to be admired. If you're not feeling that way this morning, then the challenge is, as we read these, let's take them to heart. Let's say, okay, if this is what Jesus is saying will cause us to be happy and blessed, then we need to listen up to this, right? Don't you all want to be happier than you are now, or more blessed than you are now? Folks, you're allowed to say yes. Yes? Okay, all right. If your neighbor's asleep poking, say, Pastor Steve isn't that boring. It's turkey hangover, too many desserts. Okay, so let me finish that sentence. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Is that a phrase you hear all the time, poor in spirit? Not really. So let's look at that a minute. Poor in spirit are those who are humble and readily admit their need for God. The humble who readily admit their need for God. Poor in spirit. Are you admitting that? Are you admitting your need? James puts it this way. This is the Amplified. But God gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects our faith and our gratitude. Therefore, it is written, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. And verse 10. Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, he will lift you up, and give you purpose. So why are the poor in spirit spiritually prosperous and happy? Because they willingly admit that they need God. They go to him first, not last. Normally what we do, especially us guys, we try it 10 ways ourselves. Okay? Right, Stan? What? I saw Stan get himself out of a fix, and it took a lot of work. A lot of work. He was helping a family member of mine, and he just found himself in a fix. Not anything of his own doing, but there he was. And there were like five or six different ways that we tried to get him out of that fix, and eventually it happened. So us guys, we just work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. And then finally we say, you know, God, I really could use some help with this, right? So those who are poor in spirit are willing to admit their need for God. It's okay to tell God that we need His strength. We need His help. That we can't do any part of life without Him. Being part of His kingdom means that we do what He is doing, how He does it. So I want to give us four things here that are examples of His kingdom and His presence over our preferences and our comfort. That I see as I look at the life of Jesus. His presence and His kingdom instead of my preference and my level of comfort of who I want to spend time with and who I want to talk to. Who I want to spend time with and who I want to talk to. We as Christians often choose to only talk to and only spend time with other Christians. We go so far as changing jobs over and over until we find one that has more Christians than non-Christians. Is that really reflecting His kingdom? Because who is bringing Jesus to the places where you may be the only Christian? If you leave there because you're the only Christian, who else is bringing Jesus there? See, maybe we prayed, well, Lord, if you really, really want me to go to Africa, I'll go. But don't send me to work. Because those people at work are so hard to get along with, and I don't like their language, and during lunch they go outside and smoke. What is with this? And they talk about what they did this weekend. Is it our preference and comfort or His kingdom and His presence? Who did Jesus spend time with? Most of the time He wasn't in church. And at least four of His disciples were fishermen. And I have a feeling Jesus heard a few cuss words. What do you think? I mean, any of you that read about Peter, I'm not sure he completely cleaned up his language before he said yes to Jesus. Because Jesus called him right off the boat. And they said yes. And he ate with tax gatherers and sinners and spent time with them. Next one. His presence and His kingdom instead of my preference and my level of comfort of where I go and where I don't want to go. Do you choose to go to homeless, to the needy, to mission trips? Do you go where Jesus goes? Where He continues to go? Next one. His presence and His kingdom instead of my preference and my level of comfort of how I want to love the needy. For years and years, I was really sort of pleased with myself, with the level of giving that Stacy and I do toward those that are in need. Because not only do we give here, but we actually support some missionaries on our own and some organizations that help the needy. So there I am sitting in my nice, warm, comfortable dining room with my checkbook, and I'm writing out a check, and I'm sending it off. And I'm feeling pretty pleased. See, that's comfortable. That's easy. Yes, I'm choosing to give money there instead of spending it on myself. But did Jesus just send money? Did His disciples just send money? Most of the time they went to where the need was. They went out to Harrisburg to the block that needs help. Just saying. His presence and his kingdom instead of my preference and my level of comfort of how I want to minister to others. The example that came to my mind here, and I've been in a few of these situations. Lepers approached Jesus. And as they're approaching, you already know, they had to yell, unclean, unclean. In other words, if I get near you, you may catch something from me. Well, we do that not just with people who are sick or have a disease that eats away the nerves in their body. And what happens is it's not that it eats away the fingers and the toes, but they have no feeling in them. So they just wear them off. They can't even tell that they're doing things that are wearing them off. But we sometimes don't want to get near people who smell different, who talk different, who dress different. Maybe they had a few too many to drink. Maybe they're sitting and rolling a joint while you're talking to them. Okay. But in this case, Jesus didn't say, okay, lepers, you stay right there at the back of the church. Don't get any closer. And I believe God will touch you from here. Okay, God, heal those three guys over there. Is that what he did? He went right up, laid his hands on them, and prayed for their healing. Are we willing to do that? I had to make that choice a couple times. I knew people were sick and what they had didn't look too nice when I was on missions trips. And I went into some homes and I went, oh, I'm the clean guy. The guy that loves Clorox and Lysol. And here I am in this slum, in this garbage pit, crawling under things to get into houses, and hoping that nothing jumps on me, and praying for these people, and am I going to touch them? Had to make that choice. So folks, we need his help, don't we? If we're going to love like he loves, love where he loved, love how he loved, it's going to take us overcoming our comfort and our preferences. So we need his help. I love that he promises to help. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and my song will give thanks to him. We did that today. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The same God who created heaven and earth is the same God who helps me. Same one. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. If God's holding you up, you're held up. Right? God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. That's that verse from the message. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Okay? So it's okay to admit you need God's help. I would say it's more than okay because Jesus said, happy are you if you're poor in spirit. And come to me and admit you need my help. Okay, our next happy. Remember I told you these aren't logical? Happy are those who are now sad. What? In any way does that make sense to anybody? And don't you say yes. Okay, happy are those who are now sad. Because God will comfort them. Here it is from the message. This is challenging. You're blessed when you've lost something dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who is the most dear to you. Wow. You want to hear that one again? You're blessed when you've lost something dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who is most dear to you. Wow. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you have gone through times like that. These are the promises that we can hold on to. I will comfort you as a mother does her child. Have you ever seen that? I get to see that a lot. I have 7 grandkids. So Adam and Becky are away. They're down in Georgia for Thanksgiving. And the day after Thanksgiving, Zany got sick. And he's Pap-Pap's little guy. He just, you know, whenever he sees Pap-Pap, he runs the whole length of his house. And he says he's Pap-Pap's boy. So I got a text from Becky on Friday saying, Pap-Pap's boy is sick. So I sent back, what's going on? She said, we don't know, he has a fever. So then last night, you know, I'm already missing them. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is really helpful, Becky. So she sends me a picture of him with his eyes shut. You could tell he doesn't feel good. And he does that swollen lip thing. I can't do it. I don't have a swollen lip. His lip's out about this far. And the note on the text says, Pap-Pap, he has strep throat. Yeah, yeah. And so you know that when kids are sick, they want their mommies to comfort them. Not the person at daycare. Not anybody else that they really like. Most of the time, not their dad. They want mom. Mom has to hold them. Mom has to put the wet rag on their head. Okay. You've all seen mom's comfort. God says, I will comfort you when you need comforted as a mother does her child. He comforts us in all our troubles. And now we can comfort others. See? He comforts us in all our troubles. Now we can comfort others. When doubts filled my mind, that doesn't happen to anybody, right? When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. So it's okay today to admit, remember what the first happy was? It's okay to admit that you need some hope and some cheer today. It's okay. You can admit that. Your promises revive me and comfort me. Yay. So what promise of God do you need to hold on to today? What promise of God do you need to be comforted by? You may have lost someone or something dear to you this past year. If so, we can draw close to the Comforter. Okay, the third person of the Trinity is actually named the Comforter. So what do you think he does? Okay. And God promises that he will renew. That means it's depleted. And he will renew it. Your gas tank is empty. He'll fill it up. Renew our hope and cheer us up. Okay. Last happy today. The last one is actually 3-in-1 because all 3 of these are our choice. Okay. These other ones are not really our choice. They're a process we go through. These 3, we get to make the choice. So if we choose right, we're happy and blessed. If we don't choose right, we're not happy and blessed. So you all told me you want to be happy and blessed. More happy and blessed when you leave than when you came. Okay? So here's our 3 that we get to choose. We can choose to be meek, or we can choose to be domineering. We can choose to show mercy, or we can choose to be judgmental. We can choose to make peace, or we can argue and fight. 3 choices we get to make. We can be on the unhappy side, or we can be on the happy and blessed side. One more time. Just so we get this in our mind and then we'll go over. You can choose to be meek or domineer. You can choose to show mercy or be judgmental. You can choose to make peace or you can argue and fight. Happy are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, often don't we think the opposite? If I force my way past others, knocking them back on my climb to the top, then I will see success. That's what the world thinks. Meekness, however, listen at this definition, and I'll go through it a couple times, because I want us to get this. Meekness means having either the power or the authority. So you have either the power or the authority, and choosing to use it to help or protect others, choosing to use it to help or protect others instead of hurting others or advancing myself. Okay, so think about that. Meekness means having either the power or the authority and choosing to use it to help or protect others instead of hurting others or to advance myself. So one example, big biker dude, okay? Arms like this, tattoos, earrings, beard. Okay, he's riding on his black Harley, and you see him pull up to a store, and he gets out, and you're sitting in the parking lot waiting for your wife to come out from shopping, and you see him come out, a PetSmart, holding a little kid. Power and strength, but keeping it in reserve and using it to protect and care for others. Or a policeman that you see walking an older person across the street. Okay? He has power and authority, actually. Power is the gun. Authority is his position. But he's using it to help advance others and protect others. Okay? Instead of advancing himself. So I'll read the definition one more time. Because this is our choice. We either choose his presence and kingdom or our preference and comfort. So meekness means having either the power or the authority and choosing to use it to help or protect others instead of hurting others or advancing ourselves. Okay? So it's our choice. Am I going to use the things that God's given me, my strengths, to advance others and help others succeed, or is it going to be all about me? And not caring if others fall behind just so I go forward. All right? Then we have mercy or judgment. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. See, this is one of those kingdom of God principles. You reap what you sow. Your harvest is based on the seed. Okay? You plant wheat, you get wheat. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant mercy, you get mercy. You show other people mercy, they'll give you mercy back. If you show other people judgment, you're going to get judgment back. So if you find yourself saying, I wonder why people judge me all the time. The good question is just stop and ask, do I judge other people? Do I find myself thinking, oh, they shouldn't have done it that way. They should have done it that way. I didn't like how they did that. I could have done it better. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I've heard someone say, you got to be careful. You only have so many pieces of your mind to give away. So are you going to plant mercy so that you receive mercy, or are you going to plant judgment and get back? Last one. Happy are the makers of peace, for they are recognized as children of God. So we get to decide every day in every discussion and in every decision. Is this going to be about debating and arguing and proving I am right? Or am I going to make it the kingdom choice, which means that relationship is more important than me being right, or me arguing, or me debating? Is it really necessary to win the argument and either hurt the person or lose the relationship? Ouch. Is it really worth hurting the person or losing the relationship just to prove that I am right? Or can I just let it go? I'm not saying it's easy, but if we're going to be happy if we're merciful and happy if we're peacemakers, at some point we just have to let it go. It's not worth the argument. It's not worth the fight. The person is more important than me being right. Some workplaces, unfortunately some homes, are like walking into war zones or tornadoes. When you enter them, missiles are flying. The wind is blowing. People are ducking. Everyone is on high alert because you don't know what's coming next. Can we be people that call for a ceasefire? Can I be the one who's willing to lay down my weapons? You know, if you go to somebody with your weapons out, and they have weapons, what are they going to do? They're going to get their weapons out. I'm not talking about literal guns. I'm talking about things we shoot at people. And so if we're constantly shooting these comments at people, they're going to have their weapons out. Can you be the one who says, hey, can we just have peace here and lay our weapons down? Sometimes you have to be the first person. You have to be the peacemaker who lays down your weapons. So what did we learn today? What is our challenge today? If I want to be happy, if I want to be spiritually blessed, then I have to head toward laying down my preference and my comfort and choosing these things. Choosing to be humble. Choosing to admit that I need God. I have to choose to bring my loss and my brokenness to the one who can comfort, heal, and restore.